If we could stand and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, our agenda says that we're going to have an appointment with the auditor. I think Ron might be running a little late.
It looks like he is. I tried to call
So
off the team of people.
I'm going to move on and we'll come back after when Ron gets here. I'll go to number three, amendments to the agenda.
Two today, if it's okay with the board. First, I'd like to amend the agenda to add appointments with tenants for water and sewer agreements as 2A.
It's 2A.
And under new business D, add liquor license approval for special permits.
Okay. I need let's do two different motions on that. So I have a motion for the First Amendment to the appointment with the tenants for water and sewer.
I'll make a motion that we have. I will second that. Oh, sorry.
Know what we're doing? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Can I get a motion for liquor license special permit?
I'll make a motion. We add a liquor license special permit to the
Application.
agenda. I will second that motion.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No other amendments. We're gonna move on. Approval of the minutes from July 8th. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Discussion after the motion,
I have to second. Yep.
I will motion to approve those minutes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
One quick thing in parking lot. The first line says Manager Gunter said to not make changes. What was that in reference to? I'm sorry if that's self-evident.
Just meant don't remove anything.
Yeah, that was part of the discussion on the swap shop, and we had a transfer station there, and I think I asked Joe the question, are we ready to take that off? And he's saying not yet. He still wants to do a little more work with the swap shop, is what that pertains.
So perhaps an amendment to say Manager Gunter said to not make changes to parking lot items or parking lot agenda items or sorry, I don't mean to create a word for you.
No. Because I have a couple. So. Is there any other discussion from board members?
I asked that we should pull on that item.
I had on page three under BCDC approval where it said, I gave the town $60,000 to rehab the former Skyline building. I don't want it to look like we're gonna. That's awful little money for. It's going to take a lot more than that to rehab the Skyline
That's
building.
just for the
It
start.
is to do a feasibility. Right in front of that, what it was is $60,000 to do a feasibility study to rehab the former Skyline building. That way, it's a better descriptor, so people don't think we're rehabbing it for $60,000 is all. On that same page, under the 2 minutes for public comments, I'm pretty sure Mr. Frazier was talking about roads being smashed versus headstones. He talked about the globe, the lighted globe, the eternal light globe that was
Yes,
smashed.
yep, I remember that.
So I just, if he was here, he'd be going, wait a minute, the headstones are fine. It's the globes that were smashed a couple of times.
That's fair. I do feel like I recall some discussion of gravestones being defaced as well, but I agree that that was the
I
more
don't think
impressive,
right. I don't.
important part of Mr. Frazier's comments.
So can I get them with those changes? Do you have some more changes?
The date.
The date. Oh yes, the minutes show March 11th instead of July. Yes.
It says March 11th for Pete's sake.
Too close. That was close.
Do you think it's copy paste?
So I'll entertain a motion with the change of date, the clarification on the parking lot, the feasibility study added after the $60,000, and the globes added to Mr. Fraser's 2 minutes per comment.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Aye.
Rich seconds that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just a minute. Did you mean to take away the first motion?
Yes. I will.
That isn't necessary. I mean to say so. You can approve as amended or approve as corrected.
Okay. So let's approve it as correct.
No, you've done it now.
I don't get a mulligan on this.
So it was Chad and Rich.
Yes, Chad and Rich. Very good. Think we have our minutes taken care of? Okay. Department head reports.
We do not have an official report. I was gone to Milwaukee for the week. I came back and I had been training in the academy the last 2 days on mandatory training. So I would have normally had done yesterday, so I will try to get caught up. Not have anything. Class I went to was called A-Ride for a football. Worried, but I got something.
That's good.
What was that, A-Ride?
A-Ride. It's what it is. It's the next level up. So the state has put a mandate that anybody certified within 2 years from that day, you have to go. So you have standardized DUI, and then A-Ride is the next section. It's called the PEC program, and that's one step below DRE. So the goal is every officer in the state will be able to do A-Ride, and that's to take it to the next level to address possible impairment by drugs. So since the legalization of marijuana, we've seen an increase in drug driving.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find a lot of officers, not just here, but across the state, they kind of shy away from the marijuana piece because warrants, and it's just not real clear what's impairment, what's not. So this is to enhance enforcement and try to add some of that drug use off. And not just marijuana, but what adds in the prescribed drugs, every other thing they call impairment. So it was a tough training. It was worth it. Stressful, like I said, stressful. If you didn't pass it, come back to you. So far everybody's taken it as passed, so it's a full process. We have two more going. So eventually everybody thought of
it. What did you call it? A ride?
It's called A ride. Capital letters.
I just got a text from the auditor and says his internet is down and couldn't get here. He apologizes, but he'll be here on August 5th.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief?
Milwaukee, was it good?
I've never been there, and I was apprehensive because you hear Milwaukee say they think of Detroit, it might not be a less desirable city. I guess but Milwaukee was beautiful. I'd recommend anybody hasn't been there this time of year. It was like driving around Glens Falls. I like about our rock.
It's just
a large city, but moving through the city, there wasn't congestion. It was very pretty river down through the middle. But if you haven't been, I would recommend.
Never been. Never even thought about it.
No, me either. We rode actually rode up to the Green Bay Peninsula. It looked a lot like here without the mountains. It was more like rolling hills, but it felt like roads.
Good. Okay. Joe.
I'm doing the rest today. Quick update on Public Works. So we closed down the building, which I'll mention later in my report, but closed down the building on Airport Road, and Public Works has started moving their equipment and supplies to the new facility. Today they went and grabbed some extra shelving And again, they've started moving. They've been hitting potholes, potholes in the sidewalk as well. They helped with the water leak on River Street. They dug that out, found the leak, and patched it back up. And they've been doing a lot of equipment repair. We'll see that in the warrant that our guys have been really spending a lot of time on equipment maintaining that stuff. Nothing from the sewer department today. Water department did take care of those three boil water notices that we had outstanding from Down Street and then over on River Street. So those are all buttoned up and the state signed off on them. And nothing specific from the transfer station. I did talk to Shaden. He's reporting out to the state about the tonnage that we send out. We have to report to the state for this. And they're estimating that the swap shop has saved about, so far, 4 tons in garbage going into the landfill.
Oh.
It sounds like a lot, but we're still tracking it. It's something we're now on our radar. So I'm pretty proud of that. That's,
do you know how that? Do you know how that's tracked?
How the swap shop is tracked?
The reduction in tonnage. Yeah. How are they measuring that?
So what we're watching is as compared to last month and as compared to last year, and then when the swap shop was open, did we see a dip? You know, because you should see right on the graph, you should see a dip at that point. But we'll see. It could be anomaly.
What percentage of the total tonnage would 4 tons represent, you know, over whatever period?
Yeah, I don't know the total tonnage, but I can find out. It would be a little bit, but
thanks.
Yeah. And that's what I got for those folks. From the manager's office, tax bill did go out last week, and people have started paying. It looks like the state has reduced, and this is just what I've seen. I don't have any inside information, but it looks like the state has reduced their school subsidy to the taxpayer. I forget what that's called, that little bit of money they give you. I've had a couple of people say that they didn't get as much as they did last year.
Homestead?
Homestead. The homestead, yeah.
That was definitely less this year.
Yeah. I mentioned we closed on the new facility. The building is, so we insured the building a couple of days. I called BLCT. The building is insured the day we took possession. Water and electricity is now in the town's name. I still need to get a phone and internet service, but the guys aren't there, so it's not the end of the world that hasn't happened yet. I reached out, and this will be a discussion for the next meeting, I think, but I wanted to let the board know. I reached out to Castleton and Poultney to talk about the 250th anniversary, the semi-quincentennial of America. I asked them, would they be interested in going in with Fairhaven to have a big event, not just like have some little town stuff here and there. So they're talking to their boards this week and then next week, and then we'll see what they say. 7 unions have been posted. That can be closed on at the end of August. For the auditor, who's supposed to be here, he'll be here at the next meeting. We scheduled a meeting. Terry and I scheduled the meeting for August 26, 27, and 28 to start that process for fiscal year 25. We talked to Ron, the auditor, Ron. We want to be done with this in November. We want to get back on track. We have the staff capacity now to do it. So that's the goal, is to get back Fairhaven back on that November deadline like we have been in years past. We did have a great meet and greet with the governor, if anybody had attended. A lot of representatives, and just a good kind of a good vibe all around for that one. Heat pumps are still being installed on the second floor. They're in operation on the first floor. We did have trouble with the clerk's office. It's blowing warm a little bit, but they're working on that. Downtown water line, they hung that pipe across the bridge from south side to north side. They should be out of there this week, so we won't have construction downtown anymore. Same day we met with the governor, we did have a small meet and greet over at the Skyline building to talk about reactivating that place. Also, a lot of good positive feedback. We had the right people at the right places who can help us. And let's see. Late August, we should see paving down on South Main. So we'll see that coming through. Where they made the road cuts, like water pipe. And then we started looking at, so I know we discussed where to place the salt shed at the new facility, but the discussion around putting it in after doing more research, the discussion and decision to put that in the visitor parking lot. Do you know what I mean by visitor parking lot?
Is it
up there?
Presumably. Yeah. No, on the outside of
the
gate.
Where you're outside the gate.
Yeah. That space is not feasible. We don't reach the setbacks. We'd have to pave over impervious surface, excuse me. And it's right by the wetland, so we'd be encroaching on the wetland buffer. So I do have that. The only space that we really that is seemingly feasible is in the back of the facility next to the existing outbuilding. So if you can see, so there's that little outbuilding way back in the corner. And you can see the big red rectangle, not to scale. Mm-hmm. You see the wetland stop here, and there's the property boundary here. So that gives us the buffer to the wetland, and then it gives us the setbacks for the property line. The other piece, which I'll pass around, is a little small. Wetland is right there. Property boundary is right at where we're going to put it. So if you wanted to take a look.
That's at the airport.
It's at the airport facility.
May I ask the question, since that wasn't first choice of location, what are the perceived disadvantages of that location versus another location that's more favorable?
So we wanted to put it out out front originally, just so that way the tractor trailers would be able to come in and have access to it when they dump pretty much any time, right? It was just open. But this space here seems to, it's superior, and it saves us almost $30,000 in paving. Yeah. So originally we were afraid that the water sloughing off the parking lot might go right into the but it's pitched more to the back corner, not towards that outbuilding. They wouldn't grade the pavement to the outbuilding, which is not what they did. So this seems to be the superior location. I don't know if the board has any heartburn about that, but that we did some research and it's like
it's feasible. Yeah.
Saves us money.
Puts salt under roof anyway. You're not going to have runoff like you would if it.
Well, I was afraid of coming off the parking lot.
Yeah, but that could be a space.
But that's going to. They wouldn't. They didn't grade the parking lot to go into the building. They graded it to go away from the building.
Imagine that.
Of course. Any other questions?
Yeah, that's all I had for you to do. Oh, no, that's not all I had for you today. I'd like to introduce Eric and Nott, our recreation director.
Oh, welcome.
Do you want to give a speech?
What update would you like?
About recreation? Anything on your mind?
Our program this summer is awfully small. Our numbers have dwindled. And I think it's two programs in one space. So we have Boys and Girls Club operating along with Caretaker Recreation. Mm-hmm. However, their numbers also seem to be a little smaller as well. I was informed that they had about 35 kiddos registered with them, and we have about 45 kids registered, but given that it's summer, the numbers fluctuate week to week, vacations, camps, all those different things. So I don't think we've really reached over 30 kids in one day. So, very small group than what we're used to. We have to split the bar style of camp a little bit and separate some materials to equal, well, I should say, make it easier to do inside days instead of having to transport everything back up in the rain and back down in the rain. So we thankfully were able to order enough supplies to kind of split between inside and outside so we don't have to do as much of that. Thankfully, we've only had one inside day. Makes it a lot easier. We've been taking the kiddos to story hour at the library. They've been doing that. Fridays are field trip days. Beach this Friday. So we'll see if the weather holds up for us or not. But it's a good job.
I regrettably don't know that much about the summer programming. I did look at the website not too long ago. So pass the report information on there and I could educate myself. But just generally, is it what age groups attend the summer camp and what days is it?
So Monday through Friday, we do 8:30 to 1:30. 8:30 to 9 is breakfast. That is all free provided through the program, along with lunch later on in the day. And then, sorry, what was the other part of the question?
The age groups that age are allowed
to. So 5 to 12. That is a little wonky. I have to clarify a little bit more with that, because we have in the handbook, it says grades going into kindergarten to 6th grade. And then the 6th graders are all going into 7th grade. And they're like, but I'm not a 6th grader. I'm not going into 6th grade. But they're still 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you're at that fine line. I'll just have to get some more clarification. It could be a matter of, like, insurance purposes or any of those things. They know, like, teachers have specific certifications for certain age groups as well. So I said, we'll have to get some sort of, you know, clarification maybe for next summer moving forward and adapt as we need to. We don't have a lot of those older kiddos right now, but I do have a lot of middle schoolers that are like, can I come down? It's a public space. You are absolutely welcome to come down. The meals are free. That's fine. However, I'm not responsible if something happens because I do not have you as a registered participant. But it seems like that middle school group really is looking for something to do. And I can have some junior counselors. They are not paid. They have to pay their own way for field trips, but they are there to kind of fill in that role and help their counselors and learn so that eventually they can move up and then become a paid teenage, you know, high school student counselor. So we have some interest. It's just a matter of we don't have a whole lot of kids. I don't need a bunch of junior counselors when I already have 8 counselors to work with. So
can
you do lunch?
Yes, so they do the lunch program at the school, all free. And then they also pack us lunches for our field trips to go, so that's nice.
And need the participants be enrolled at Fairhaven Grade School, or can they be residents of other towns? How does that work?
They can be residents of other towns. So our resident fee is, you know, smaller than our non-resident, but from what I gather, we do have some kiddos from, like, Whitehall, New York, and they're saying $50 is really not that bad, especially for their older kiddos.
Week or for the whole summer?
For the week.
Okay.
Yeah, for the week, and then there's a discount if you have multiple children.
Okay.
So a lot of families actually love that factor, even for our local kiddos, because then it's just $10 per extra kid. So it's nice for them, and then I actually do need to reach out to the American Legion. They've been so gracious to sponsor some kiddos during the summer who they may not have the financial means to send their kiddo, but really would like to. And I actually have a family that just reached out saying, my child really wants to come. How can we make this work? I said, don't worry. I will figure it out. I will contact the American Legion. I know Jeff Eaton has reached out to me during softball season saying, hey, you kiddos need anything for sponsorships, supplies, equipment, any of that, reach out to them and we'll make it happen. So, like, this is great. And I don't know that a lot of families understand that those services are available, that, you know, those resources are. We try to advertise that when it's, like, coming across, but there's so much information and I'm trying not to inundate parents with all of that. But
it's really rather inexpensive. I mean, you can't hire a babysitter for one day, but they come for a week.
A couple hours, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, $30 for the week isn't horrible. It's not. So.
Great. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for calling me in.
Well, yes.
Just as a matter of point, the small number of kids, I don't think it's lack of interest. I think, if I remember correctly, our numbers at the school have gone down drastically. If I remember correctly, I believe that they're going to be down to one kindergarten and one first grade. Maybe I something to that effect.
We will have one kindergarten class. First grade's okay. That is kindergarten. I just finished my position as an IA with the school. And so I know kindergarten, they only have about 17 kiddos coming in for kindergarten.
Just enough for one class. So I just wanted to point out, I don't think it's a lack, a lack of interest. It's just
the number. Just the number.
Numbers are just kind of dwindling.
Yeah. Well, that's everywhere.
Yes.
Well, welcome aboard. We look forward to working with you. Right. Okay. Anything else, Joe? Or?
No, sir.
Old business, it says we have none. New business, you've touched on the Three-Town Fireworks for America semi-quincentennial.
Yeah. That was probably, so I pretty much gave away my whole spiel. Other than the fact that, so we were, the three towns, myself, the managers in Patterson and Poldney, kind of spitball ideas of where it could be held. And Castleton's going to reach out to Castleton College to see if they'll let us use their space. Because we just don't, the airport's big. I don't think we have enough parking space for three towns worth of people. That doesn't seem feasible to me. And I don't want it to turn out for them.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where we're sitting now. And there will be more.
Yeah, more stuff happening. If there's no other questions for Joe on that.
Are we going to have money in the budget for the 250th? I mean, the Historical Society has been talking a lot about it would be great to have bunting all over town like we used in the old days. We have lots of pictures of when bunting was on all the buildings, and we don't normally have a 4th of July parade, and several people have said, can we have a 4th of July parade? I probably could ask Dave Mallory because he was vital in the 200th,
mm-hmm.
but finding it, you know, our town's oldest citizen, youngest citizen, all those kinds of different events that we had for the 200th celebrations. I didn't look at them. But
it's a good question for when we go into budget season and talk about, you know, and that's why I made a little note to myself, okay, is there some budget money for this? Do you have a rough idea what that, when they did the 200, what's?
No,
there's nothing there. Don't let me misspeak, Joe, but there's nothing there now. We would need to discuss and put something there, probably under our special events type of a, when I look.
Yeah, it's other more of a discussion during budget season, maybe not for this part.
Right.
I think maybe somebody ought to get some sort of an idea of what we're talking about
season. Sure, because I wouldn't know how much. If you get a general, if there's a general idea, like you mentioned, parade, or we know from doing Memorial Day Parade what it costs us to do Memorial Day Parade. And so are we looking to budget an additional parade
or
what is it?
From Memorial Day to the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I mean, if we only want to do one parade back in the summer. But yeah, I mean, it'd just be nice to have some idea of how much that's going to cost. I don't know, but okay. We can start looking into it.
Okay. Is it?
I mean, we can ask Poldney how much their freight costs, because obviously they have much larger freight than we.
Is there, I mean, I know you were just spitballing this, but is there a consensus already that reached that we would prefer to have a 4th of July parade or Memorial Day parade amongst people we're talking
about? People have come to me and asked about making sure we, you know, only because it's the 250th celebration is the 4th of July. So that's why people were asking. I don't see why we couldn't have both. The first Memorial Day is mostly in the past, going back. The American Legion has taken the lead with some leadership too on, you know, the town, you know, supporting
them,
obviously.
Yes.
Right. So perhaps this is something later in the year we could add to the budget or add to the agenda instead of perhaps right now during the fireworks discussion.
Yeah.
So that way we have a deep discussion about
it. Yeah, we need, and we should probably get it an agenda item so it's warm so we can get
Sure.
I bet there's some, a lot of great ideas and people. I appreciate the enthusiasm and the fact and the question that says, now we know you put the bug in our ear.
We're, yeah, we're at 11
for the budget. For the budget.
And okay. It'll go quick.
So we're going to hear more on the fireworks. Any other questions for Joe on that? Updated junk ordinance. I think everyone's got a copy, right?
Yes, sir. Briefly about the junk ordinance. This is something that the EDDP, formerly the Economic Development Committee, had taken up as a project to rework and help improve so that way we can, so that way this ordinance has a little bit more teeth to it. If you look around the town, there are a few properties that have been let go. The leaves are just piled up on the lawn, the garbage is piled up outside, the weeds are as high as me, and there's just stuff scattered all over the yard. This ordinance allows the town, it better defines what's considered nuisance and what's not, well, what is. And then it allows the town to clean these properties at the cost of the owner, which is new to our ordinance. And it's, I think it adds the teeth to the ordinance that we really need. Glenn was instrumental in this. He may remember more than I do, but that's kind of
if I was listening to the pitch for this update on the junk ordinance, I'd say, okay, if I had the old one here and what you're proposing here, not a lot got changed between the two ordinances. The title, where you start off with the Town of Fairhaven ordinance regulating the storage of junk and junk motor vehicles, we added junk and junk motor, it was just junk motor vehicles the first time. So we said junk. And then we went down and we helped explain a little bit more of what it was. The only other thing that changed in there is we added two elements. We added the element of leaves. In the fall, sometimes you get a whole bunch of leaves that if they're not picked up and we go into the late November, they get into our storm drains and clog our storm drains. So we tried to get something to address that. We wanted to address grass that gets very high and isn't mowed. I can tell you that was the biggest stumbling block for us. We went and checked with legal. And even though there's some element about grass, we tied the grass and the height around the junk, saying that if it's around the junk, if it's greater than 15 inches, it needs to be cut. But if you, this is not an ordinance that lets you drive down the street and say, okay, that grass is 3 feet high right there, I want it mowed. We need to come up. We were given guidance that we need to come up with a grass ordinance, is about, for lack of a better term for it. So that's not there. But we also, what this did, the reason we added the junk is sometimes we'll get some phones that, and some of the ones I think of are likely, we had one on Grave Street where the people left and left a whole bunch of garbage and everything there. And they're like in California and their garbage is sitting here and it's sitting here all summer and the next year. Well, this allows us to take, get it removed, and then bill back whoever owns that place so that we can get at some of those. Because again, the reason a lot of this is from a health and safety standpoint. If you've got too much real garbage, you get the vermin that comes along with it. And we were hearing from people quite a bit about, hey, look, I wish you would, you do more around that kind of junk, not just junk motor vehicles. So those were, and Chad's seal, and Chad was also on the committee. If I missed something, feel free to jump in.
No, I think you've covered.
Yeah, because anything we legal
suggested might not go in that particular ordinance. He said we covered it in the health and safety ordinance. Mm-hmm. But we did receive a lot of feedback from neighbors, especially about rats mm-hmm. and things like that. So that's why we really started looking at the garbage, you know, junk.
Mm-hmm. Any questions about it from our board members?
So the enforcement of each individual or the enforcement of the policy is upon the select board in each case. So am I understanding that correctly? Within 30 days from the date of mailing of a written notice by the select board of any violation of this ordinance. That makes it sound like who, well.
You know, if you're wondering, do you go knock on the door as a select board member? No.
Not so much as in each individual case that there is a violation being made, does it need to then be brought before the select board for us to then issue a notice? Let's have that.
To change the select board town manager or designee.
Okay.
Right now, our department does the job for me.
Okay.
We send out the letters. We meet with people. We try to give them X amount of time to resolve the problem that we're going to. Vermont Municipal Complaint, and then they have the opportunity to contest that in front of the judicial office. It's a trap.
So am I reading this incorrectly, or does it feel like that is necessary to clarify?
So no, it doesn't be clarified. It's understood the select board is the chief and myself are the designees of the select board.
Okay.
We exact or we execute the policies of the select board and the ordinances. So that hasn't changed in this ordinance. We've always the chief has always sent out the tickets and the letters.
Yeah.
It does later. Are you looking at A under enforcement?
Enforcement A, yeah.
Enforcement A.
Been noticed by the select board.
Because I think later under D, the town constables and law enforcement officers shall be designated enforcement officers. Said designees shall issue the Vermont Municipal complaint ticket and shall be the hearing officer at any hearing. But if all... Go ahead.
The only thing I would like to add is you have constables, law enforcement, or designees, technically that would fall to the help officer. The health officer can be, has a ticket violation number, but it can be you could hire the animal control officer to go do code enforcement. I don't want to say code, but ordinance. You can at some point decide to appoint an ordinance officer just to handle those type of things. So if you add designee, that we haven't written it, we keep it right to just us two.
Mm-hmm.
And we do primarily do that, but we just think long term, whatever.
Because When I look at these, because when we look at an ordinance, we get an opportunity to take. We took the words that were there, but it's a great opportunity to update the words after we've had time. And I think that's what she's telling us.
Yeah, basically, it already says in an article, enforcement officer means any constable or law enforcement officer appointed by the select board.
Yeah, I'd like to add or designate.
Right. And I think that's.
Then that, like I said, other towns, the health officer can write those types. Or, again,
you don't see any, because I don't see that in the exact attorney just because.
No, no. No, I think the board has the ability to appoint their.
And if that helps in clarification, and they're great, we're looking at the document when you get a chance to look at it. Anything else in the document in terms of action?
Tell us, explain to me again the specifics around overgrown grass. So as written in 2C, it sounds like it's specifically grass grown over 15 inches within 10 feet of junk. But it doesn't use the term overgrown grass in 2C. We do then later in 3A refer to overgrown grass, which would suggest that that is the definition of overgrown grass, but it doesn't feel like it's perfectly clear to me.
Yes.
Also, can I just clarify, are we voting on this tonight?
The intent.
Okay.
This is your first chance to see that it's now passed through the group that was working on it.
Okay.
Back here. When we talked, how's the best, the reason I answered you the way I did.
Okay.
When we talked to our attorney, they were not comfortable with us being real clear and saying grass over this, don't care if it's near junk or not, it's got to be cut. They said, you'd be better off, you enforcement wise and everything, having a separate ordinance just on the grass. But as long as we're talking junk, and he was comfortable with the C where it talks located within 10 feet of any junk or junk motor vehicle, anything over 15 inches should be cut. Because you don't know in that junk whether that's a frame to a vehicle or piles of garbage that's got all kinds of vermin going to them. It's the logic there. But it doesn't spell it out real clear because it wasn't to include someone who's got some very high grass on their front lawn and say, you got it's more than 15 inches. I've got my ruler. Here you go. Now that's not what this ordinance does. It was meant to be a little ambiguous.
And I apologize for my kind of abruptness and directness just now. I thought we were about to vote on this. And provided there's still time for review and revision, I feel much less sensitivity around the specifics.
What we've done at this, where we are in the process here, probably well over a year ago, it was sent to the EDC to see if they could come up with something.
Okay.
Knowing that what we worked through, came up with it, got it looked at by legal, we'd come back here to the board and say, okay, here's the change, either a new ordinance, and we decided rather than writing a new ordinance, let's take the one that exists and let's just tweak it a little bit and bring it up to date. Now that it's back here, you're seeing it for the first time. I would look that I'd say that we take the input that we have here, we tweak it, clean it up again, and then come back and see if it's something. Just for the process, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, the process is even once we say yes, there's a process that has to be for so many days out there. Someone can put a petition together. I mean, we could get people to put a petition together and say, no, we don't want a junk ordinance. We like high grass and junk. I mean, I'm just saying that, or whatever, for a lot of reasons, that some of them might come back. So there's a process. The next step in the process is for us to look at the tweet. And so what I would, if you haven't got any other changes right now, I'd just ask that before we meet again, we send those changes to Joe so we can incorporate them in.
Okay.
So that when we come back, we're saying, okay, here's the second pass at this year.
But are all further edits going to be made by you directly, Joe, or when they go to the EDC? It sounds like
we've done our work. We've said, here's what we're proposing. And now you do your thing.
Okay.
Nothing? Nope.
Nope.
So we're good there? Rich, you mean?
Get landowner buildings, tenants. The bottom line is the owner's responsible. Yes. I'm thinking that's
what we usually start with the tenant. We don't get results until the actual problem.
Okay. Makes sense.
Good. No other questions. We're going to move on to appointment to the Zoning Board of Adjustment.
So I popped that in there just as a placeholder, just in case there was people clamoring at the door. It turns out there's not. So there's really no action tonight.
Liquor license, special permit application request, D.
So this is a special, this is a liquor license request for a special event. We've had some requests to add beer and wine to a couple of our events. And this particular event is at the concerts, not in the concerts, but outside the fence, kind of behind the concerts. The idea is to try to attract a younger population to our events. Right now, the concerts, they do bring in, you know, some younger families, but the goal is to bring in some of my, like, school teacher age, working class folks, and, hey, I just want to go out, sit, and have a glass of wine and listen to music. So that's the idea behind this. And there are four dates that there are permits for.
I've been bringing that concert for 4 or 5 years now, and I've never heard of that request before. I've never had anybody ask. I don't know where that's coming.
We have a population's changing. And we've had some.
Ben was saying this is the first I've ever heard about.
Me too. First time I've ever done.
I'm gonna. What I want to do is get the board members to make their comments. Then I'm gonna go get comments from people that are here. Sam, any observation, any comment?
I'm not opposed to it on face value. I am curious about how it will be implemented. So you said four events.
Four Thursday night concerts.
Four Thursday night concerts to start. Who will be the holder of the liquor license? That's or is it just beer and wine, or is it liquor as well?
It's just beer and wine.
Beer and wine. So whose license to sell is going to be used for this?
It is Fairly Buzzed LLC.
Who is that?
Fairly Buzzed LLC.
Yeah. Do they have another DBA that I might be familiar with, or is it a community member that?
They do catering at events, so this is their business. They pull up their little wagons, set up shop, and sell beer and wine.
Okay. So did they approach the town, or did we approach them?
They approached us. There was, I think, the yoga studio knew these folks and said, hey, this is a great idea. You should ask. So we spitballed some ideas, kind of for advertising. The first night would be ladies' night. Providing
what does that mean?
Yeah, well, so and this was the young lady's idea. This is the young lady's idea, the owner. She said, well, we'll do some what she called fruity cocktails, like mojitos, that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Well, then that would be liquor.
Mixed drinks.
Well, that would be liquor.
Or is it because they're pre-canned that they would be fall into the beer and wine? Or
I guess so.
Is this too specific? I don't know.
No, I mean, we're just asking. Question. Right now, I'm just getting your immediate. We're hearing about this the first time.
Yeah.
Chad, did you have any observations or comments?
I don't have an opinion either way. I'm more interested in what Seal and what Chief have, for thoughts on introducing alcohol to an event like this.
I'm going to hold my opinion after. Seal, you had something in mind?
Well, that's why I'm here tonight. I heard it through the grapevine. So I've been working at concerts 12, 13 years, long time. Again, I've never heard the request. And really, because I work at Castleton concerts and I'll see people drinking wine, even though they have an open
container
ordinance. They let it slip, I don't. So I'm going to ask. I thought we had an open container ordinance for our park.
We
have a
wait.
So, and I know that they'll probably take, 30 yards or something like that. They were going to move up. I can't remember what somebody told me. Of course, they can't leave that roped off area. My question is, where is the area? Because I don't want them anywhere near the south end of the park where we park all of our handicapped folks. We take a lot of space. So if Are they going to be in a grassy area? I guess there's a lot of issues around it. Number one, I just don't think it's the right space. We're family friendly. We have been advertised ourselves as family friendly. This year, attendance is like, I think, more due to the weather than they're not being able to drink. So, no, I would be incredibly opposed to this idea.
I'm giving my, any other?
I want to know what he has to say.
Well, I mean, at first I would, no, because you open that up to everybody bring their own. But now I'm aware that you have a designated area. It's not outside of that. It's in the controlled area at home. You can't exit that. It'd be much easier for us to monitor when we're looking.
What?
So I'm not, under those circumstances, I'm not opposed to it. As much as I would be, I wouldn't want a free for all. You could buy a walk through because then how do you tell John Doe that walks through the 40 that they can't drink at the park?
It's my initial reaction I heard doesn't mean I couldn't be persuaded. When I heard it, was I'm going, wait a minute. Very similar to yours. Concerts in the park, very successful. I don't think of, I'm concerned about adding alcohol to the equation. Quite frankly, I don't want to be a hypocrite because we've done alcohol when we, one time we had the bourbon tasting and in front of and everything, but that was a special occasion just for that in a very, it wasn't Thursday night concerts in the park. Before I would be comfortable making a decision to do that, also, we added this as an amended item. And I'd want this out here so that we could get more input. I think we'd have a lot of people feeling the same way Seal thinks. And I'm just wondering why I look at what can be gained. If you, I know we can talk, hey, open your mind, Glenn, and see, get new people and everything, but I'm saying, what if I'm not looking for a new crowd and people? I want the crowd that brings their lawn chair, sits down, feels good with bringing the kids and everything else. I don't want this to be something that could get out of hand.
Actually, my question is, do we have, on Thursday nights, do we have a designated officer for, if we were to do something like this, would we have to get a second designated officer?
No, we still have a duty officer. So if I can cover it, bring a part-timer to cover it, they were smart. Then I still have a duty officer wrong. There was an issue. I do back on that quickly. If we did a trial run, what I do see with, I think, who Joe's talking about, I do believe that would be along the lines of like Scotch Hill Brewery, where the beers and drinks are a little more expensive because they're more craft. So I don't think the people drinking them are coming there to get drunk. They might buy a craft beer and try it. I don't see the crowd of rolling 30 back and sitting there the whole time drinking. I don't see that happen with what's being proposed.
Well, this conversation seems more subjective than objective. Right. Mm-hmm. So what are the parameters for submitting a permit? How do we decide to approve it? And is it uniform for every submission? I guess that's what I would kind of look at. Because then it seems like we'd be able to pick and choose by event. And maybe that's how we want to do it. But I just want to call attention to that.
Again, I agree. I also sit back here and say, we have places that sell spirits right now to mass audience who pays taxes. And I am not, and if someone wants to go have a few glasses of wine up on Scotch Hill, that's fine, and come down and listen to music good. if someone wants to go to Sean's or to the brewery in the corner. I still think there's more downside than upside myself personally to putting alcohol in the equation. And I don't have, I haven't seen, I've heard just here tonight about this, but I haven't seen the groundswell of people saying, you know, we need spirits down at concerts in the park. Want to do some events? You go ahead.
Yeah. So this is scary. This is Fairhaven, and this is scary, right? This is not how we do that here. We've never done it before. No. And that's what I expected, right? Right out of the gate, it's like, nope, we don't do that. I'm asking the board and the community to think not what was, but where the community is going. Hang on.
I'm not saying anything yet.
Right. So Fairhaven of 2025 is not Fairhaven of 1960. And Fairhaven of 2030 is not going to be the Fairhaven of 2025. We have to start appealing to a greater group. We need to start appealing to groups, not just in our community, because our population is dwindling. We need to start appealing to folks over at the lakes, over in Poldney. We need to bring those people here, and if serving a glass of wine so they can enjoy the concerts is the way to get them here, so then they can go to Durkin's, so they can see the yoga studio, so maybe they can walk over and get a beer if the beer place is open. That's what we're trying to do. And I'm not saying let's do it from now until the end. What I'm asking is for, let's try it. Let's try something new to help our community and help our downtown. If we keep saying no to everything, we will never move forward. Because every time something comes up, the initial response is nope. And then we drop.
I have a vision for Fairhaven, too. If you want to get a younger crowd, then you get a different band.
Right.
That's what's going to draw, not booze. They can get it at Tomasi's, or they can get it at the brewery, or they can get it at the Fairhaven Inn. So if you want to change that, you bring in a different band. And that determines your the folks who listen to that style of music. We try to bring in all the genres. We bring in rock and roll, we bring in cover band, we bring in Celtic music. We try to get everything so that one of these nine concerts is going to appeal to your particular musical taste. I just, if you want to try it at the car show. You've got an adult crowd there.
I want to try it at the concert.
I personally just you know, I think if you, I look to see how this could go. I still am concerned, and I don't want to try it at concerts. I think you're messing with something that works. And I look it over at the dog where they're outside drinking and everything, and the neighbors are complaining from the time they open up in the summer until they're done. I say, and then I come back and say, you want the crowd that comes in. I don't want the crowd that would come there and want to drink. And say, you want to do that? Little Fairhaven is not where I'd go. Quite frankly, that's not where I'd go to go have my beer and listen. So I'm just telling you, I appreciate the hey, let's go out and try something different. This isn't the different that I want to try personally. Eric?
Just an observation of that whole statement. The dog is operated every night throughout the summer, but this is a once a night. I'm not either for or nay against. I personally, I've never really attended the concerts because, like Seal said, it doesn't really appeal to my taste in music. And I'm younger. The last one, the Army Band, the one that I did attend, was cover. And it was great. There was a lot of good songs that I know, that I knew, but, like, my younger counselors were like, you know this song? This is, like, really old. And I go, oh, geez. And I'm starting to be part of that population. And so I agree with Seal. Bring in maybe some other bands locally. But I don't think it's a fair comparison of saying,
This is a bar that's open nightly to a once a week concert. It's not going to be the same rowdiness, in my opinion. I don't think it would bring that craziness, but I mean, you have all sorts of places that have beer gardens that function okay as far as I can see on the outside of it. I don't attend them myself, but I
hear what you're saying. I'm just saying that I'm one of those stick in the mud people that would say over my dead body. But go ahead.
Rose had her hand up first.
Okay.
I want more details before I make it. Before I can make a judgment on my own. I need more details.
You want what?
More details.
So it was a comment. It's like we don't, and I'm going to paraphrase. It's like we don't want people to come into Fairhaven like that. We don't have anybody coming to Fairhaven right now. We need to do something to bring people here and to spend their time here. And even every time we put something out there, we need to try this. It's just like, nope, that's different. That's different. We don't like different. I'm passionate about this because I see the potential in our little community. We have a great community, and I think if we could just try. I'm not asking for the world. I'm asking to just try.
I'm saying,
well,
no.
Well, yeah, don't try.
I'm not saying don't try. I'm just saying don't do it on concert night at the park. Go ahead.
Okay. I have about 10 more questions that have nothing to do with whether or not it's going to bring young people to the community that are all logistical that I would like to ask. But it feels like this decision is going to be made based upon how people feel about the presence of alcohol in and of itself. So if that's the reality of the situation, I would rather not spend any more energy on it. But I think it is an idea that it has merit, should be subjected to scrutiny, and that good ideas, when scrutinized, are generally improved upon and could be enacted in a way that is to everyone's benefit and liking. So if we could just have a discussion that allows for,
and I believe if you want to go drinking, go to a bar. I don't want you out. I rope off a little area and think that I tell myself that I just made security because I roped off a little area, and
has merit. I started out by thinking, you know, this, we don't want this. I'm not afraid of people who drink a glass of wine once in a while.
No.
I'm not afraid of people who drink a bottle of beer once in a while. I don't like a drunk around. But I don't think this is going to entice drunkenness.
No, I don't either.
I mean, people who want to go get drunk, go to a bar. People who want to enjoy a glass of wine don't mind sitting around quietly and listening to music, their kind of music. Mm-hmm. So if we have, I mean, I've been around the concerts longer than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, there were 9 people coming to the concert. I got it going. Again, I don't drink personally. If I like a little glass of ginger brandy before my supper in the wintertime. That's it. And just because it's never been done, I don't think we need to be afraid of it.
I'm not afraid of it. I just don't think the concerts is the first place you try it. I go to homecoming and we do the same thing. We have a little beer, called the beer garden, a little area where they lose money every year. And that's a drinking crowd, but they all tell me.
Did you say the Castleton does allow it?
At homecoming, they've done it before, but they kept losing money because everybody tells it. I guess where would it be, Jim?
Behind the bus stop. In the
Where we park.
In the grass. No, nobody parks there.
Right where you're at.
Do we have an aerial map of the location like we did for the salt shed, or could we maybe point it out on the aerial map that we have over here just so that we know exactly where we're talking about?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know how new this is. This
by the cannon? Are we talking about the cannon?
Well, behind the bus stop. The cannon is here. It would be over here.
So that's where we park the trailer in the daytime.
Yep, the trailer. Yep.
Trailer would be there.
So
we'd be over in that grassy shed.
Where you just took down the grass growing in that area there.
Let me try. Here's my thoughts. I'm not against trying anything. I mean, I know we got to try to get things in this town, and we got to just because. It's never been done. It's not a good excuse not to do it. If we control it, and like I say, if one time it don't work, no more. But I'm just saying, I'm willing to try it.
I'm just one vote. I'm saying.
I just want to try it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying not this, but that's just me.
They applied for 4 dimes, though, right?
Yeah, but we can just tell them no.
What if he went over here, Joe?
I didn't want to put it inside the park as to confuse people to what the event was. I didn't want it to be part of concerts. I wanted it to be kind of a separate.
As its own area, if you're in there, you can see the concerts. You're not outside. It's controlled by the fence. You're not free.
Yeah, they're not going to see the concert there.
Yeah.
Don't think so?
Right. No, too many trees.
Okay.
They're getting the back of it. Because the gazebos. Here. This is all parking.
What? Rose, you have something you want to say?
How big of an area are you looking at? Are you going to have the trailer?
Yeah, it might be. We looked at it the other day. I didn't step it out, but it might be a 10 by 20, 10 by 30, maybe bigger than that. I'm exaggerating. I might not be.
Now, are they going to bring their own tables and stuff for people to sit?
They'll bring some tables. We have a red table down at the other end.
And you're the red table.
Yeah, we'll bring the red table in, and they'll bring their own tables.
Actually, I'll take Rich's bet and I'll raise you. I think we should give it one. I think you should do it at least twice.
There you go, Rose.
The reason being is because give it a chance. I don't like the idea myself of having alcohol there. I don't. There's too much that could go wrong, but. Chief said he's gonna. There's an officer there. I'm sure that they can one, but I'm sure that they can, if in such a situation, kind of keep them pretty much towards that side. So if somebody decided to overindulge, that.
So, when we cover double both of them, they do have to be designated there.
Right.
It's the same concept, but there's less people at the park than there is at the race.
So this is, I don't, it would not be my first choice, but it's an idea, and we have so few of those.
If the problem that we're trying to solve, I guess we're trying to solve a problem that we don't have enough people coming to concerts in the park. So I'm trying to understand why we would go out and do it just because we never did it is not a, I've never jumped off a ledge, but it doesn't mean I want to go do it. I don't mean to take this the wrong way. I'm just going, I think, and I'm not against having like the night that we brought in, and I think it was Steve Sheldon and his band playing, and they did the different bourbons and everything, and in the middle thing. I'm not against having that kind of event that brings people to that kind of an event, and you're able to buy bourbon as well. What I'm saying is we've got something that's been going for a lot of years, Concerts in the Park. I am not sure. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, like no different than anyone else. But if there are people who go there and when they see the one or two times that we have alcohol right here, will we lose some people?
That's a good point.
At the time that I think the only logic we're doing is we want to get new people. And I think new people is if you're taking new, younger people, you're talking. I agree with what I heard about the music. Just change it up a little bit and do that. I'm just. Not real comfortable with alcohol there for myself personally. Oh, boy, I'm just one person.
I don't think any of these questions, whether or not it will attract people or alienate people, can be answered in this room. Nor indeed do I think they can be answered in a single event or even in two events, or perhaps even in four events, because these types of questions can only be answered in the long term through measurement. And one thing we haven't talked about is the yardstick against we will be measuring the performance of this new idea, which again, I think has merit. I would like, if we are to try it, to have a better understanding of how we will evaluate its success and what success means. And I think questions of younger crowds, older crowds, I would like to shy away from and just look at attendance overall and perhaps revenues as well. So my assumption is that we will be charging a nominal fee to the vendor for their participation at the event. Is that more or less they'll pay a $20 license fee or something to set
it
up?
Yeah, they'd have to pay the $10.
It's $10?
Fee, yeah.
So does the concert committee or the town make any percentage of sales on the alcohol accident? Is there a scenario in which the concert committee or the town does make some percentage of sales or some larger fee than $10 on this type of event? Or has that been discussed or considered?
Didn't hash it out really that much. You know, that always pops up. Can we get a percentage? No, because we haven't tried it at all. I don't know what attendance would look like. We would expect that if there are more folks over there having a beer, they might go over and have a hot dog. They'd go around and maybe grab a hot dog and come back so that way they can drink and eat. Because they're not selling food, they're going to eat, which was a stipulation. We're not doing food, you have to eat what's there.
And as someone who hasn't attended these concerts since, I'm going to say, 2006, we sell hot dogs. What else do we sell? Who makes the revenues from those sales?
Hot dogs and popcorn.
Sodas, water.
Sodas and water.
Sodas and water. Back into the concert. Okay, for the concerts.
Okay.
So concerts cost a lot of money.
Of course.
Okay. So the town gives us, I think you had increased it, was it to $9,000, Chuck?
Yeah.
Bands cost, that's just, the water a band cost $1,200. The sound man cost $600. The porta potties cost a couple hundred dollars. That's every night that cost. So that's almost over $2,000. We have nine, that's $18,000. Town gives us more. We have to sell 50-50. We solicit sponsorships. We sell food. That's what puts the concerts on. When you talk about how do you measure concerts, a lot of variables.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can narrow those variables. Whether number one, the band.
Sure.
The temperature. If it's night like tonight, we'll fill the park. If it's a good band. If it's a bad band, we'll still fill the park because they're going to be out and under, in the park. But we are measuring
attendance.
The way we measure attendance, we count. In the church, it's about 110 to 125. And unfortunately, we've had to have two in the church. We make no money. In fact, we give away money because we give everybody cold water because it's hotter than who lives in that church. And we'll donate something to the church for allowing us to use their facility. When we, it'll sound funny, but we did it for about 3 years. We give a red ticket. We used to count the red tickets. The closer the number to the attendance is usually what the 50-50 is. So if we give out $295, I can bet you there's 300 people in the crowd, because that's how close it is. And that's how we measure attendance, for the amount of 50-50.
My question would be, we have a group of concerts in the park, workers, and I don't know if you're a formal committee, but if you're, I think you're a committee.
Fred, Tony, and I are.
But this, what does my other, what I don't know, when by just adding this and not having it on the agenda item beforehand, is what does the concerts, how does the concerts in the park committee feel about us arbitrarily making decisions to sell alcohol at concerts, before concerts in the park?
I can tell you, I wasn't happy when somebody called me and said, "Hey, did you just read on Facebook that they wanted?"
That's the other.
Did somebody post on Facebook?
Somebody posted somewhere on Facebook. I thought that's what I was told. I don't do Facebook. You know, I don't.
No, I
don't do social media.
But I'm just saying.
Or somebody called.
Whole point me. Is, whole point is we want to do, and don't get me wrong, Joe. I know you want to think out of the box, and I know we want to do things to improve. I'm not against that. What I am against is we're just looking for new people, and I just upset the majority of the concerts and park people who do the work, and they all quit. So not only did I not get more people, I got to find people or go pay for people to go work concerts in the park, because they don't like the idea that I'm selling alcohol there.
So I did call Fred before I brought this to the board.
Okay.
Fred's response was, as long as it's outside of the fence, he didn't care. It wasn't his problem. Great. If Fred would have said, "No way, I'm not on board," I would have not even thought about this. And Fred is the man.
He's one person. He's not the decision maker. Even though I bet if we talked to Fred, he'd tell you he was the decision maker.
He tells me that every time.
But we have a group, and my concern is, what's the group?
There, me.
Yeah. And if the group's saying, not a problem,
it sounds like the group is split.
Tonight, this was the first I'd ever heard about it. Right. Was tonight.
This is the first
I heard. Before that, I had no, I didn't even hear it rumored. I'm willing to try it, but everybody has got to be willing to try it.
Sam?
Rich, that is a perfect segue to my next question. If we are anticipating that this change will bring new audience members to the concerts, how do we intend to market that this change has occurred? Meaning, how are we going to let people know that we're selling booze?
Yeah. So the young lady, she already has a media package prepared, but she wasn't, I hope she didn't post, because she wasn't supposed to do that. But yeah, we're ready to go, just in case the board said yes.
The young lady in this case being the owner of the LLC, was it fairly buzzed?
Fairly buzzed.
Fairly buzzed.
It's not just bring new people. We're going to add to the people that are already there.
I think the risk
take
is greater
away than anybody.
When I see that, I'll probably go.
Why would you lose people? Well, what's your thought process on why you think people would not come if there's just alcohol offered in a designated area?
My comfort level, because I think I'm looking at the chief saying that, well, of having people sashaying through with their tall boys at the same time, because we run into that occasionally. I think we had once that we had to deal with a situation involving alcohol and a person who might have had more than they should have. I'm just going, why am I building myself up for more of that? I'm just that.
We also
if you're confused by one incident turns you off completely.
No, with me, I'm looking, quite frankly, I'm I can't make Thursday night concerts in the park because I'm already committed somewhere, so I'm not there. So how you end up isn't going to make a difference of me going or not going. I can tell you, though, if I was going, I wouldn't mind going myself. I wouldn't bring my grandchildren. I wouldn't bring my younger children were there with alcohol at the park.
I think the way they're talking about design is small, good, controlled. If you're going to experiment, that's the way to do it. I would be totally against being able to take that beer and wine and go sit in my chair on the park. Right. Because then we can't regulate it. The people that are selling can't regulate it. And then it opens up to what I talked about, people wandering with their own. But it's hard to argue what's what. So it's no different than when the Scotch Hill Brewery was running the one out in the park. Right? Same concept as you come out of Scotch Hill Brewery, you sat in the town, sitting out in the middle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same concept. It's controlled. We've never had any issues with that.
Okay.
We don't get a big crowd either. So when we had our wine tasting, the first one went really well, and then we had problems. So I'm not against drinking. I worked in a bar. Not a whole lot of people know that, but I did. And so I'm not against drinking. I'm not against that at all. What I am against is putting it, testing it out at the concerts. I think if you want to test it, you make it an event solely about, you can have a band, you can do it on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon. We don't have Sunday blue ones anymore.
I do think what Joe's proposing, growing on what is already an established, well-attended event.
Where are we going to park more people? That's what I want to know. Where are we going to park more people? My husband is out there parking people, and he's going, okay, we don't want, I mean, he was having a hard time parking people with 300 people there. It's really hard when there's 600 people there, which is why I said, if this is going to take up any parking space whatsoever, that's that, especially at the south end of the park for people who have issues walking.
Is 300 a number that's representative of what you've been seeing this year?
This year, only because of the weather.
But there's been.
I mean, on a good year, it's 600 to 1,000.
600 to 1,000. That's one.
It's going to be a nice night Thursday.
It's going to be a warm night. We have a new band, so we're hoping for a big crowd.
So
and that pays our bills.
I think we're starting to repeat and get what's your pleasure? Or members?
I'm willing to try it, but that's just me.
Could I make a suggestion maybe to temper the concern? Maybe just approve one or two, as Roseanne said, not all. That way they give the board the control and say, look, we said two and that's it.
My concern with that framing, and I think I may have already expressed this, is that we are saying try it and see, but we have not established what it is that we are trying to see. Is it an increase in the attendance? If so, what are we looking for? Should we set goals?
How do you measure success?
Yes. And because then it just leaves the door open for us to return to this after two and say, well, we didn't like it, but on what basis?
And
we won't.
And I have trouble making a decision on, we haven't agreed where it's going to be.
So also, I guess my thinking is, let's say this does get approved. I would imagine the town, if it goes horribly wrong, and everyone gets up and leaves, and now we have no concert goers, or there's a situation that is disorderly, and we're like, this is a terrible idea. I imagine we reserve the right to revoke a permit once we've issued it.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
My question is, like, if you call the question now, haven't heard where it could be. Could be down on the grass on the other end. Could be over on the other side. Could be. It could be up on this right end here, of the park right here, where you've got the parking places outside the fence and the grass on this end, on the north end. No, I don't know. But I just don't know what I'm just throwing it out there and saying, well, yeah, kind of go do it.
So the designated location would be behind the bus stop by the Pine Trees. That would be cordoned off, and it's, again, 20, I'm going to say 20 or 30 by 30 or 40. I don't know the exact square footage.
And the concerts stuff that you put there, that won't be in your way?
There's nobody parks there. It's all
not on the grass.
Okay.
It's always empty.
It'd be in the grass.
Yeah. Okay.
The only people that park anywhere near that is our EMTs.
Right.
So.
They're usually right on that.
Right on that. And they're right at the gate.
So I pull my truck in there to unload everything.
Right.
So we have a location. I'm hearing everything from 1 to 4. If the proposal came in, we wanted to do 4. Are you?
Is that the remaining number of concerts for the summer?
Yes. So, if someone wanted to make a motion to do this, we can get a motion and a second. There's probably, I think, but I go ahead.
Oh, $10 is what we always, or what has been set as the standard charge.
Yep.
The ROI on selling alcohol to a captive audience is going to be presumably high if it's successful, which would, to me, suggest that we might want to adjust that pricing, especially since, and I understand we wouldn't want to take a percentage, that seems irregular, but charging a higher fee may be in order. I would like to consider asking for perhaps for sales data from Fairly Buzzed, or maybe just doing our own sort of research to determine what the right number is, if it's not a little higher than $10 per event. And the other thing that this called to mind for me, why I was asking who approached who in this scenario, did we go to Fairly Buzz or did Fairly Buzz come to us? My thinking is, and as someone who has also worked as a bartender and who has catered as someone who worked at a bar, knowing that there is the opportunity for any brick and mortar establishment that has their beer, wine, liquor license to also file for a temporary permit to serve at an event like this as well, that maybe there's an opportunity to work with a local business, a bar that already exists, the brewery perhaps, so that they might furnish the event with alcohol, which to me is in the interest of the community. I think would send a strong message to the local businesses that work downtown that we are interested in this being to their benefit as well as to the concert goers, especially given that there has been some discussion and perhaps some pushback around food trucks as of late. I want to pay attention to that and maybe be a bit proactive about it.
Fairly Buzzed is not one of our concert holders. Gymnastics is.
Right. We have on so many levels. Sure. We have people who pay to support the concerts.
You have three pizzas every week, feed to bang.
To answer your other question, we get a stipend from the fireworks people, $1,000 a year. The RC Flyers, just had them give us $1,000. I'm not saying that's what it should be, but it wouldn't be out of the realm that we do something like that.
Or the vineyard, or, you know.
So we're back again to, is there a motion and to do this? And the motion would be to do this. It sounds like the request was for 4. And modify that request before?
I think we could bump it to 2 and to make people more comfortable. Because nobody wants the world here. We're just trying to see what we can do to help our community.
One more point of clarification, because I'm not sure that I can say with certainty. So it sounds like it's a beer line only, but we also made reference to cocktails. So I'm not sure where we fell on
But what they'll be served.
We will make sure it's only beer and wine, because you're right, that is liquor, and we don't want to have liquor. That was explicit in the conversation.
Okay.
So I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to try it for 2 weeks. If it don't work, it don't work.
Do I have a second?
I will second the motion to approve the license to serve at the concerts in the park on a conditional basis for 2 events.
Any other discussion?
Provisional.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. No.
Abstain.
Abstain. We don't have.
Can we do that?
We can't. Okay, we don't have three votes, so the motion didn't carry, so we won't be doing the liquor license. Let's move on.
Although I appreciate the good conversation.
No, it was good.
It was,
good discussion.
It was a lot, but yeah.
Good discussion. Good discussion. 2 minutes.
Is it majority of the quorum or majority of the votes?
Quorum of the board, yeah. Right? So three.
We need three. To get a decision, you need three. Out of five. 2 minutes for public comment.
Go ahead. I was really excited. Fairhaven had such a great week. We had a visitor from the governor, which is always, it's like, and it was so fun to see Vanessa Canton. You might have met her as Vanessa Kinner.
I did that. I saw her as well.
And they're the owners of the land. So I said, Vanessa, what are you doing here? And she said, well, I own the land. And I said, well, I'll be. But it was really nice. A nice event, lots of politicians, and so you know, I was just happy they came to Fairhaven. And then, of course, the building, the National Guard building. My question, I guess it's not a comment, it's a question. We have the Historical Society has marble posts at the old building with the old lights, and it's got yellow tape around it fenced in, but those are the posts that if somebody runs over one of the ones in the park, those are our, and they have. So I guess I'm saying, is there any way we can keep them there? Is the land still going to be available? Is it still town land? Is that land going to be sold? What should the Historical Society do in terms of those marble posts, which are really heavy?
So they can stay there. There's no plans on getting rid of the land.
Right.
At least not right.
Good, thank you.
And can I add to that, Joe, that also, the IBC was looking for storage space. I think they've been told that downstairs, or we were waiting for DPW to move. We thought where there might be some space, because if they thought it was easier to store.
Can I touch on the topic? Because I know it's not on the agenda,
sure.
But there are two storage containers down at the playground. Half of one of those storage containers is... is earmarked for IBC for IBC.
So
I know there's a bunch of Christmas trees downstairs that the IBC wanted access to. Those can be huffed up. And then any other probably treasures that you want to store.
We just need to get a lock for it so that nobody gets into it. So.
Yeah. So that's a...
Well, I think it's time for the IBC to take a little bit of... I mean, we've been looking at what we're going to do and what we're not going to do in terms of decorations, because it's mostly the things that we decorate the park with. The flags come from the American Legion. We don't store those. They burn them for us after they're taken out of the park. But the sticks for the things like that, Christmas trees, anything that, because we really decorate all seasons. So that's what it is.
Good. Was there any other? Yes.
So I had a couple things. I wanted to thank Joe and DPW for getting right on that little ditch there in front of Cloud Nine, where I fell. And I mentioned it to him Friday, and it was done today. So I thank you very much. I also wanted to mention I got my tax bill. And
I thought they were going down. Somebody told me they were going down.
Mine went down. Oh,
I have to say that I was pretty impressed because where the school taxes went up, not as much as they could have been and probably will in the future, but they did go up. But my tax bill as a whole went down over $100 for the year. So, good job, guys. And good job to all the people, you know, all our department heads. Oh, of course, he's gone. All our department heads who kept their budgets.
I'm going to bring my tax bill and say, how come mine went up?
Mine went up.
And everything else went up $300 or something.
Homestead, but I don't get homestead.
I don't know, but all I know is that, I mean.
Homestead definitely changed. Huh?
It could be the ones who didn't get it because they didn't get the homestead.
Homestead seemed to have changed a lot, went down, which would put the bill higher.
And I never got a homestead, so mine actually $88.
I just, was that year if credit where credit was due?
$22 a quarter. Good. Any other comments? Okay, parking lot. Saying nothing on the parking lot. Board roundtable. Sam.
Congratulations. I think in particular to Joe, but let's say to all of us on a press conference that went off beautifully and I think really reflected our town well.
Yeah. Wonderful job. That and all the people, the police department, the DPW, the folks that were, the whole supporting cast did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Is there some place we can see it?
The press conference. There was news media there and there were reports, but I don't know if it was recorded in its entirety.
Maybe YouTube somewhere.
Yeah.
Channel 3 or Channel 5.
We'll have to get you there next time.
Ask them. Okay.
Anything else, Sam?
I don't know, was Peg TV there?
Rich.
Peg TV, I
guess.
I have
nothing.
Oh, maybe
nothing.
Chad.
I'll echo that. I think it's great to see Fairhaven and Good Light on the news. It was a good event to attend. Thank you to Joe and the cast and crew. We saw Terry there and Nate and those guys were there. It's good. Chief and you know your presence there. And I do want to, I guess, just clarify, because I think there was some online swirl after the fact that, we were starting some big project on the taxpayer's dime and, you know, we didn't notify anybody, but it's really just about getting monies to smaller communities to build infrastructure around projects that might happen in the future and not a project we have slated now. So really big day for all small communities in Vermont. Unrelated, but related to housing, I'm curious about whether or not we have anything in ordinance that I haven't read yet on houses that are in disrepair. Seen some houses that are boarded up and missing pieces off of them and not necessarily holding junk on the property, but certainly potentially hazardous buildings. You think about vacant buildings and what happens or could happen in them. Wondering if we have an ordinance on that. If not, is that something that this board would want to entertain?
I don't think we have an ordinance about abandoned homes. The select board has very, very broad power when it comes to safety and the health of the community, which we haven't flexed that muscle ever. So we really don't how to use it, but I think that would be a potential avenue. I know Rutland does, they stepped in on certain projects. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a good answer, but I can ask the lawyer and see if he has an idea.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I have just one item. We talked back at the end of June about the water and sewer bills and potential proposal of emailing out the bill. And I just, I got some feedback where this person was reading that and seemed to be confused that it would cost them more if it was emailed through. And I think it's because we got talking about, is it $5, is it $1? And we didn't go. So I told them that I was pretty sure it wasn't to cost more. And that there's more to follow here on that, because when I look back at those minutes, we said we put it on a future agenda to kind of wrap that up with the next water bill. I think what it doesn't isn't due for another month and a half. So maybe we need to try to sneak that on the agenda to, yeah, if we're moving forward, I think communicating and what we're doing and talking about that need to be done. And I just want to echo the great job by Joe, the staff here. What I was also very impressed with is our delegation from Montpelier, which was in full force down here, supporting the efforts that we're doing. We got a pretty good team up there working with the governor and lieutenant governor. Yeah. It was nice to see that group so involved with Fairhaven.
Yeah, even the lieutenant governor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So very nice. Okay, moving right along to the financial reports.
Just a second. You gotta find it. Go.
Make a motion to approve the payroll warrant of $47,920.08.
I will second that motion.
Seconded by Sam. All those in favor?
Aye.
Make a motion to approve the general warrant of $131,990.95. Second that.
Rich is seconding that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And our checkbook sits at it sits in the negative $95,409.65.
The taxpayer money is coming in.
It's less negative than it was last
time. And I don't see an executive session, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much for coming to the meeting.
So, I put out the economic development downtown. Robbie, I'm looking for your article on discovering as I'm going through the mail, all of the things. So,